Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode of Cognitive Dissonance is brought to you by our patrons. You fucking rock. Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios and beyond, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. This is episode, pause to check notes, 565. Yes.
How amazing.
Also remembered that of Cognitive Dissonance. And we are joined again by Dan and Jordan from Knowledge Fight.
Hey, that's us. That's us. I'm waving at you despite the fact that no one can see me.
We can see you. That's and that counts for something.
Before we get started, though, I just want to thank you guys for coming on our live stream in November. We did save the Senate. I just want to point that out.
We did save
the Senate. And it was because of from you guys that everybody was able to pitch in and save the Senate. Even though while it was happening, we were all wondering whether or not it was going to be a big waste of time. It was not a waste of time. And so we can rejoice that it wasn't a waste of time. Yeah. So
I'm shocked not because something you guys did was not a waste of time, but because something that we were invited to be on had any impact on anything. It's a very strange feeling.
That night,
you know, it's amazing when you celebrate something which you consider a win, where you're like, we barely by the skin of our teeth and one deciding vote with the vice president and Manchin, we win.
Yeah, right.
I realized because my parents have been conservatives like their entire lives. And I realized in that moment that they haven't really donated any money to conservative causes. So the most money they have donated is by having me, and they gave it to the Democratic Party. So how about that? How about that?
Take that, Loeffler.
Yeah. Eat it, parents.
Are your folks, I'm curious for both of you, are your folks political?
What does political mean? Like, are they out on the picket lines?
You define it. It's your fucking
didn't
family.
Storm like, the fucking Capitol. They're not that political.
Well, look, some people's parents stormed the Capitol. Totally. So, like, it could have been yours.
Yeah. Some people's grandparents.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they helped that lady down the stairs afterwards. Yeah. They walked
her out. I don't know
if
I'm lucky they're not in jail or if I missed out on a great story.
Yeah. Last time we saw you guys was before. It was like pre-insurrection. Mm-hmm. So one of the reasons why.
And then 3 days later, the Lord resurrected himself. And it was a beautiful day.
We're going to have to do, we're going to have to redo BC and AD for pre-insurrection.
Pre-insurrection. We were seriously like, the week it happened on our show, Tom and I were laughing about it, but the next week we came back angry because there was more and more stuff came out about it, you know, things like that. So I'm just curious though, and one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on was because we watched an Alex Jones video last week where he was talking about how they had it in for him and Trump and had totally tricked him. But there's been sort of this weird thing that happened, right? So like with the insurrection, there's been sort of a convergence of crazy between Q and Trumpism and all the people who loved Alex Jones. And so there's just this stream. I feel like that lady on the Dark Crystal who's like, the Great Conjunction is the end of the world. Like, I feel like that lady. But seriously.
Cecil, I have to make a quick correction. It was not an armed insurrection, though, according to some senators. Oh,
that's right. You're right. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. If you have just, you know, pole arms, that doesn't count. That's not.
You just beat somebody to death with a fire extinguisher.
Everyone was wearing sleeveless shirts, and those were the only guns I saw. Those were the only guns I saw, and they were good.
Seriously, though, the insurrection happened, and it's been a sort of a convergence of crazy. But we did want to know sort of where Alex Jones land sat on all this, because they are intersecting with Q very hard right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think the convergence that you're talking about is kind of like, it's kind of real, but it's also a little bit of an illusion. Like, all those groups were fairly close together already, but they're all petty and don't like each other. So, like, Alex Jones and Q is fairly close with some pretty substantial and relevant differences, but, like, at the end of the day, they would obviously find common cause in trying to keep Trump president.
Yeah.
And the same would be found with almost all of the Trump communities. Like, when the rubber meets the road, all three of those groups that you're naming would be in allegiance. But in sunny times, they would argue with each other and be like, no, JFK Jr. is not alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. No, it's like Catholics and Protestants, you know, like, as a voting block now, they're unbreakable. But if the rest of us were gone, they would be killing each other in the streets,
you know? Yeah.
It's that kind of thing. Troubles.
Yeah. Like Ireland or something. Yeah. Sure. Yes. Absolutely.
We got the troubles if you're not careful.
To be totally clear, Alex is not a Q guy, but he's always had this sort of ambivalence to denounce, if you want to call it that, because he tried to co-opt it early on and tried to bring it into his revenue stream. It didn't work. QAnon labeled him controlled opposition, and like he works for Mossad and the CIA and all this.
Wait.
Yeah.
Dude, fucking what? Wait,
you didn't know that?
That dude can't even make payments on his... He can't even make payments on his rented tank. How is he working for Mossad? I don't even get it.
Did his tank get repossessed?
Not yet. It will, though. I'm guaranteed.
Because that would be, I just, you got to imagine the day that repossession guy is like, the what now?
I want to see him try to drive it off the tow truck. When it's on the tow truck, I want to see him up there spinning the back wheels. That's what I want to see. Yeah.
They did not like him because they thought he was a shill, and that made him mad.
Oh my God. Impossible.
But at the same time, for the last like pretty long time until the Capitol storming, he still treated it like something he could eventually maybe work with or like make money off of. And so he'd be like not endorsing it and sort of try to avoid the question of it and try to pretend like, hey, it's good. People are researching, you know, it's no big deal. Maybe some of the stuff's wrong, but hey, I'm all about it. And then as soon as the Capitol stuff happened, it's basically the globalists.
Yeah.
So QAnon is globalists.
They infiltrated you with Antifa, and they've been using you as a psyop in order to controlled opposition you into attacking the Capitol too soon.
Yeah.
Because if we had waited another couple of weeks and had a couple of million people, we would have won.
Yeah.
But also the insurrection was bad. But not because we, you know,
it was bad because it didn't work.
It's bad because we lost.
So that was going to be my question: is it his contention that the insurrection was a boo boo because it wasn't a successful insurrection?
100%. Well, he wouldn't say it like that publicly, probably, but he has said the exact same thing in a bunch of words.
Yeah.
Because I have ever since the insurrection, I have wondered like, okay, if you guys all got your way, what do you think happens that's good here? Like, you hang Mike Pence outside on the gallows, you eat Nancy Pelosi's liver or whatever on the floor of the Senate.
The Fed disappears.
That's the thing that then everybody's like, okay, all right, since you ate the second and third in charge, we'll reinstall the loser.
The gold standard is back, and OSHA is out.
Right? Fine, cancel the EPA. You win. Whatever.
They're just throwing doors open in the Capitol looking for the underground tunnels and the kids, and they're just like, not that one. Okay, next one. Damn it. Next one.
They open up a door, and weirdly, it's a pizza place in the Capitol.
Yeah, man. But I got to ask, though, like, what was Alex's role before and after? I mean, did you follow him before and after? Like, he was during, like, well, he was there that day, right?
Yeah. And actually, I think the most interesting thing, it doesn't actually involve him. Because he was out of studio, one of his employees, Harrison Smith, was hosting his show on that day, on January 6th. And as people stormed the Capitol, Harrison was in studio and he's like, cheering this on. He's like, the Patriots have taken the Capitol.
The Capitol has fallen. He said the Capitol has fallen.
What? That, why was that? Why is that? Yes, America is no more. That's where I live.
He was getting caught up in the excitement of it. And then shit got too real. Mm. And, you know, reports came out that like Ashley Babbitt had been shot and was killed.
It was Antifa the whole time. Yeah. It was Antifa. Right, it wasn't us. Yeah. The Capitol has fallen, but it was too Antifa. And
Very quickly, things started backpedaling.
This violence turned violent awfully quickly. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah. I think they realized that it was like obviously not going to be a sustained taking over of the Capitol.
Yeah.
It looked bad. Everyone was mad.
Yeah.
And so they had to blame,
you know, the liberals are going to spin this insurrection in a negative way.
Leave it to those fucking bleeding heart snowflakes to spin this the wrong way.
The mainstream media is going to have a field day.
Wait till Hollywood gets a hold of this.
So he was there that day, though, right?
He was, yeah, but not, I mean, he was actually physically near the Capitol. But I've seen...
Did he storm it?
I've seen some videos that he's released where he's actually telling people to cut it out.
He's clever.
Really? Yeah.
He's clever. Yeah. He knows where... He's like, oh, shit, if they actually do this, my money is gone. So the dollar won't exist if they win.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how it works.
I told everyone to buy gold, but gold is actually totally useless. The
economy. They don't know what they're talking about.
I can't run a boner pill company if every state has their own currency.
Do you know what economies are run well? I don't know, but anybody who's wearing fatigues at the time is not doing a good job.
Yeah, no, probably not a great job. Probably not a great job, admittedly. Yeah, that's...
Guys with American flag face paint.
Or a fucking bison hat on or something. Yeah. That guy's probably not a... That's not your new...
He's also a huge quantitative easing guy. So he likes to lower...
Yeah,
the
right, yeah, yeah.
No, he's a Fed guy. He is a Fed guy.
He's that's with the Mace Institute.
Yeah.
I think it's fairly easy to say, like, we should not take governance advice from anyone wearing face paint. Like, just of any kind. Like, Halloween...
You've never listened to Jets Talk Radio? Because I'll tell you right now, those guys have good ideas.
What about late 90s WCW Sting? I think he has some great ideas.
Exactly.
Kane wore face paint,
no,
right?
No, he didn't. He wore a mask.
Shit.
He wore a mask.
Well, now he's the mayor. Different. So you can wear a mask and become mayor.
Tangentially, Tito Ortiz is now from the UFC is like in charge of Huntington Beach. Like he's like an elected. Official.
Oh, he was elected. He didn't just conquer it.
I thought you meant unofficial.
I was going to say when you said technically, it's like, what is he, a warlord now?
He kicked over Jason of Sandcastles to be the leader.
The debate, the 2 minutes into the debate, it was just a fierce ground and pound.
Huntington Beach has fallen. Huntington Beach has fallen.
He's got the guy mounted, his back's up against the lectern, he's just laying elbows into him, you know?
Brutal.
Yeah. It's just, oh God. Here's a guy with like fucking more concussions than brain cells. Like, he's fucking in charge
of
something.
He's in charge of your shit.
So yeah, Alex was there. He tried to talk people down because he had a stage on the side of the Capitol where they were going to have another rally, and he wanted people to go over there. And instead, everyone was like, "Nah, fuck it, we're going in."
Small stage of Lollapalooza.
He was the small stage. Thinking the same thing. Yep. Yeah. He was side stage. Yeah.
He was claiming that he had a permit to have a rally there, and that Trump was gonna come or something. It's complicated, but
he's gonna come to my rally. I let him show up.
Did he get that opening guy from Lollapalooza that had all the fish hooks in him? Was he there too to be his act, his opening act, hugging like bowling balls off his tits or whatever? I don't even remember.
He had the big guy who has a cannonball shot at his stomach.
Oh, that guy's
amazing.
Amazing.
Where are you guys going? I'm gonna swallow swords. Get back here.
So it didn't.
God damn it.
Patriot dove into a cup of water. It was kind of incredible. It really was.
It didn't work out. Alex retreated to the roof of a hotel and started.
He had
a camera set up on a roof of a hotel where like the Capitol was in the background. And so they just started shooting some stuff from there. And him and Owen Schroyer started trying to figure out a way to spin it. Like, how is this Antifa's fault?
The fact that we have fucking Owen Schroyer the night before burning Black Lives Matter flags, screaming "fuck BLM" over and over and over again, like, whoa, it was Antifa who did it.
Okay, nice. But that's out of context. Yeah. That's out of context.
That's fair. The context is they want to kill Black Lives Matter protesters.
Okay.
The context didn't help.
The context is that they're horribly racist. As long as you put it in that context, it works out perfectly.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It's interesting because a lot of people have got it a little bit twisted too, because there was a video that was making the rounds on Twitter of Alex Jones, Nick Fuentes, and Ali Alexander inside a Capitol building. And people were claiming that was Alex the night before in the Capitol, but it was actually from Georgia months prior. And
I see.
He's gotten to make a lot of like sort of deflections from his own behaviors and his own actions by saying like, everyone said that I was there the night before and they're all lying about me. Yeah. And it's just, you know, a mistake or a lie that someone made on social media that now gives him a little bit of a free pass.
His like bullshit is he's set it up. So sure, his rhetoric and all of the stuff he said inspired people to go to the Capitol and then storm it. But because at the very last minute, like if Hitler converted to Christianity and was like, I accept Jesus into my heart before he killed himself, like he thinks he's a hero now because he tried to stop people from doing it. It's bullshit.
I love the idea that Alex Jones, of all people, was attempting to de-escalate a situation. That is not a skill set he has got in his wheelhouse. Alex Jones, of all people, does not seem like a comforting presence.
I don't know. I wouldn't label it comforting, but like let's not screw up the whole scam here, guys.
Yeah.
Guys, this we are entering territory where now the whole grift is a little shaky.
Rule number one is protect the grift at all costs.
If you guys hang Nancy Pelosi, my show is not going to be on air.
They're going to make it seem like it's my fault for saying that they should hang Nancy Pelosi. No, and I don't know why.
Well, when you say it out loud a bunch of times, people just think you mean it.
I didn't say that you should be violent to her. I just said that she's literally working for Satan. And
she's coming to your home to kill your family. I don't know why you guys are acting crazy about this.
Now you've taken it to another level. Yeah, you've taken it to a different level.
I think you're overreacting.
Let me drive my tank around in peace.
I wonder, maybe you guys don't know the answer to this. I'm just asking, but you know, it seemed fucking obvious from the moment that they started pushing this stupid fucking stop the steal narrative that we heard from the first minutes, even before the election, right? Even before the election was over, we heard this stop the steal nonsense. And then once it got over, that's when they started pushing it more and more and more. And you would have to be an idiot to not think that that was going to happen. I mean, but he never took his foot off the gas up until that point, right?
No, Alex did not. And actually, he promoted that Stop the Steal really heavily. That was run by Ali Alexander. And that guy is a real weirdo. But it's just the extension of what Roger Stone was trying to do in 2016. He had he had his Stop the Steal back then. And on InfoWars, they've already said a couple times that Roger and Allie were working together.
Yeah.
So like it was all pushed straight through from before the election.
I mean, once again, there's a good argument that Roger Stone could be charged with a crime.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it didn't take him long before the pardon to be like, I'm free now.
I just don't get it doesn't take a lot of foresight to see that eventuality of the storming of the Capitol. It doesn't take a lot of foresight to see that. It seems like it was probably, the night before, I think everybody knew except for the people who were manning the Capitol, right? They were the only people who probably didn't know. And everybody figured something bad was going to happen. I just don't see how Alex Jones can, if he really does protect the grift, you got to take your foot off the gas a little sooner, just a little sooner, it feels like. But or are you in it? Are you stuck? Are you stuck behind the wheel at that point? You've got to go because that's what everybody expects.
Yeah. What does it look like if you take the foot off the gas earlier? How do you give up
the
idea the election was stolen if you've quote unquote proven that it was stolen?
Also, you could argue that he gave up, he took his foot off the gas pedal at the exact right time for his grift, because he's still doing fine. You know, he didn't get caught up in all the whole stuff, so he's not getting charged. So for his purposes, not the survival of the union or whatever, for his purposes, it was the right time to
survival the union.
And it's a great grift because the clip we listened to last week had him talking as if he was totally implicated in this.
Yeah.
And this is, they're coming after me because they know I know the truth.
Yeah.
And it's a perfect, he has all the legal way to separate him from it, but then he's telling a narrative to everybody that's listening to him that he's so embedded in it. And they were trying to get Trump and him to fuck up.
Yeah. Before the impeachment, he was insisting that he was going to be like the center of the impeachment because it was about inciting people to storm the Capitol. And then lo and behold,
no one really gave a shit.
No.
No. Whoa.
We got a couple of more, I would say, tertiary mentions to the monsters in the impeachment.
Well, Nick Fuentes came up,
but AJ had no chance, and I bet he's still kind of steaming that he didn't show up.
He wanted a shout out.
He wanted something in the impeachment trial, you know?
Yeah, they would go down in history. I mean, monstrously, but instead of just for real, you have to wonder at some point. If he's just like, something I do has to be relevant. I've done some, at some point you're doing this crazy, outlandish, broadcastingly insane bullshit, wackadoo stuff all day. And at some point you gotta be like, my guy's really just accelerating to here every time. What do I have to do to get the attention I desperately, desperately seek? If it doesn't work for him, he's just going to start shooting people from the next roof he's on.
I can't stop imagining that 9-minute long fight video that the defense played where it's just everybody constantly saying fight. Like if they just spliced in one clip of Alex just fight, like that would have been perfect. That's as close to splicing in one frame of a dick pic as you can get. You know, why not? Why not? You're going to get acquitted. Nobody's going to be mad. Put a dick in there.
Yeah. It's like for us, if you make it into the fucking credits of Ocean 11 somewhere, way in the back or something, key grip. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm in a fucking movie. I'm famous. you send copies to your mom and shit.
Yeah.
That's all he wants.
I thought it was really cool that during the impeachment, someone quoted Jared Holt.
Yeah. That was.
I was
cool.
Really happy for him because I was like, "Oh, you just got quoted in an impeachment trial.
You were in the congressional fucking record.
You made it."
Have you guys heard of I don't know if this is a connection or not, but we saw recently that Marjorie Taylor Greene was
great
removed
woman.
From all of her assignments. Yeah. Has she ever come on the Alex Jones show or has she ever been involved with Alex Jones in the past?
Don't take this to mean more than it does, but I think she's too smart for that. I think she knows better.
Low bar.
Yeah.
Low bar.
What's crazy is this Trump fucking didn't hurt Trump.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But that interview was also pretty short. It was remote. Like he just He just video.
Yeah, he called in. It was a call-in show. Yeah.
And it was pretty obvious that it was like just pandery bullshit.
But
it is still remarkable that Trump did that and it didn't have like a lasting consequence. But he's also Trump. You know, he's
totally different.
Yeah, Marjorie Taylor Greene doesn't have the kind of like clout that could absorb that. I don't think.
I think Trump is at L. Ron Hubbard levels of just like slavish devotion. So what are you going to do? You know?
Yeah. He said it from the very beginning. He's like, I killed somebody on fucking Fifth Avenue and you assholes are still going to vote
for
me.
It'd have been way funnier if he said, I could have kicked somebody off of my boat whenever I wanted to and made them drown. I'm never paying taxes again.
Oh, man.
I never paid taxes in the first place.
How do we recover from this, man? Like really genuinely. How do we recover from this? I don't know. Okay. I don't have anybody else.
All right,
to
wait
ask.
A minute, Cecil.
I don't have anyone else to ask, man.
Did that laugh make you feel encouraged? I don't feel encouraged right now. You're out here for fucking hope, assholes. Give me some fucking hope.
Bad booking.
Yeah.
Don't shake your head.
I'm widely known as a font of optimism. I think that's what people describe me as often.
I barely have a pulse and he is half dead. There is no optimism around these here parts.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mighty Casey.
It's an interesting question of like, where do we go? I don't know. I don't have any kind of solid view of what makes things work. I just don't. A lot of it.
I would say we should all organize together. You know, they shut Facebook off in Australia. And I think the first thing we should all do is try and destroy Facebook as much as possible. We've seen Facebook kill our parents in many different ways. Sure. So like, let's just get rid of it. Also, I think we should destroy the power grid and go back to the dark age. But that's just me. I'm just throwing that one out there.
Texas is one ahead of you. Go Texas. Texas is one ahead of you, buddy. Wow.
Just straight up, that's some Lone Star shit.
I think we should do it ethically. We should ethically destroy the power grid. Yeah.
Fair. I will say
24 hours notice. Yeah. Is that what it is?
You guys all have 24 hours notice. Start driving now. Go.
Charge up your shit.
I will say this, though. The wonderful silence that is Trump off Twitter and not having that as a, cause it's funny. Cause I was watching video today. Cause, human piece of shit, Rush Limbaugh died today and
we lost a real one.
We lost an absolute fucking asshole.
He and Hitler are drinking cocktails in heaven right now.
Absolute piece of shit. But that dude, he got the Congressional Medal or whatever, some fucking dumb medal that Melania gave him. But he's standing up there and he's getting the thing tied around his neck. And as he's standing there, they flash back to Trump's fucking fat face. And I just realized how fucking wonderful it is to not have to see his fat face and to not have to hear what he has to say. And really, genuinely, they said there was a study that came out really quickly afterwards where they counted, you know, the number of false stories that were spread. And Trump was a super spreader when it came to false stories. He's 77% lower now that Trump isn't the person who's spreading these things.
I'm sure that that's part of what reduces the spread. And then also just like the cesspool that was his mentions. You know, like when he'd tweet, people would try to get traction by replying to his tweets. And people, I think a lot of like misinformation also probably flew around in there because it was like,
absolutely,
that almost became a centralized place where people would interact, which is fucking gross. Yeah. But here's the thing that I think that is even darker about how good it feels for you to not have Trump on Twitter. We could all just have not experienced it at all. Yep. Like we could have ignored him.
Destroy Twitter as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Twitter. Yes. Facebook. Parler, Instagram. Without, I don't know. Those are the only, I'm 33. Those are the only four I know.
Jordan.
Is TikTok a thing? I've heard it, but I thought it was a clock.
Jordan, hear me out.
What's up?
Without a power grid, there is no Twitter.
Now there we go.
You don't need any.
My power grid idea was a bad idea just five minutes ago, and now where are we?
Dry strips of venison on the highway.
We're going to have to figure out a lo-fi way to podcast, though, which is going to be... It's going to be tough. I'm not making a zine.
We'll put, we'll
bang,
get a
bang two rocks together.
Scene. We'll get a bunch of cups. All okay. right. We'll tie them together with string and then we'll talk into the cup and enough people can
so
listen.
It's basically
enough
a party line.
No, yes, it's a party line.
No,
yes.
Because in 4 years after that, we'll be like, tear down the cups. The cups are, it just, the cups are full of disinformation. Somebody's yelling into the cup, a bunch of racist evil, mean-spirited
shit. That 100% will be Jordan.
That is, the key is,
I know.
Do not democratize the cups. The key is that you need to make sure you control the cups.
We
from
need
the beginning.
Cup keepers. That's what we need. We used to,
no cup for you. No cup for you.
The monoculture used to be all about the cups now.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh. It's so true, dude. It's
you know,
so
society
true.
Fell apart when everyone had a cup.
Yeah.
That's really where
yeah,
it happened.
That is kind of what happened.
God. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it is nice that he's not on Twitter. Although I wonder how he's doing with it. Like, I think everybody imagines he's tortured by not being on Twitter. I bet he's not.
I don't know
what
I would say
I
that
bet
like
is.
I would argue that maybe far more than any like impeachments or anything as far as an impediment to him running again is just part of what made him endlessly available is the grievance that he could always claim on a daily, on a minute by minute basis. Every time he tweeted something, somebody tweeted, "Oh, you're an asshole." And he could be like, "Oh, I'm always under attack by the left wing." And now nobody's, you know, he's just alone in a fucking mansion. Yeah. But fuck yourself.
But like I enjoy tweeting and you know, like you can,
tweet. No, you don't.
I don't tweet. I used to. And you know, you can enjoy
it. Sure. Wow. Fair enough.
You can enjoy it. And you can enjoy whatever like feedback you get from people and whatever, you know, endorphin rush you get from attention. But like, if you're Trump, you don't think he's just yelling at people in a room? Like, that would be just as satisfying.
Yeah, that's fair.
The thing is, like, with Twitter, he had an avenue to really, like, broadcast his mean-spirited shower thoughts to everybody who had a fucking phone. And now he can't do. So now he's just yelling at people in that room, and they can just leave the room or not come into the next room next time. But before, he had just this endless, he had this massive bullhorn. So when he was standing, "Yo, nobody ever thought of this," and he just screams some mean-spirited shit into the way, he can't do it. I every morning I read the New York Times, and it changed dramatically. It changed dramatically as soon as he was kicked off Twitter. Every day before, every day for 4 years, I'd open up the Times and somewhere on the Times would be like, you know, "Trump said, you know, black people get back to the farm," or whatever horrible, horrible shit that he said. And now it's just, he's not even on there. Mm-hmm. Now, like, I think in the last week, it's something like "Trump promises to be relevant again."
I love
it. And you're just like,
we need to have a discussion about how you're not blaming the Times for this.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not Trump's fault.
It's partially Trump's fault.
I like that none of us laughed at the black people go back to the farm thing, because that just wasn't out of character. Like that wasn't, you know, you used to have to like elevate things, and you're like,
I know,
that wouldn't even bother me if Trump tweeted that. That's like, that's 50%.
Well, he said farm and not plantation.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, that's actually a step up from last week.
It just doesn't seem like parody.
Do you think end of the day, this thing helped him or hurt him?
AJ?
Yeah.
You think he's better off, about the same?
I think it depends
damaged
on
a little.
Whether or not. So as you were saying, you know, that like convergence of Q people and all of that nonsense. I think the only way that this works out in Alex's positive is if people start abandoning Q and going to Alex. If he doesn't manage to like swoop up enough of those people, then it's going to wind up hurting him, I would say.
Probably. It's kind of like a breaking in a pool game, you know, like I'm not exactly sure where the balls are going just yet, but like if enough of the people from Q get disillusioned but still want some reactionary right-wing conspiracy bullshit, Alex might have a chance to bring them into the revenue streams. But it's just as likely that people will see him as a sellout who wasn't ready to storm the Capitol when it was time to go, and it could end up hurting him.
Yeah,
it's
right,
it's
right.
it's
Well, and there's really no reason to abandon Q.
That was really great.
I was trying. I was really trying to not say Q ball. It was really tough.
He's going to have another chance. He's going to have another chance in March because they're all the Q people now have March shifted 4th. Their day because it was the 20th when Biden was inaugurated. And then they said afterwards that no, that's actually going to be March because he's going to be actually the 19th president because the world became a corporation after the Civil War. It's really hard to follow. Sense.
That tracks.
This checks out.
Okay. It reminds me.
When you say it like
I
that,
looked into this, it's real.
Fellas, it reminds me of the rapture. I think every like 5 to 10 years, we're going to get the rapture. You know that somebody's going to be like, it's coming. It's coming.
You mean a remix of that techno song?
No, the band.
We're just playing Blondie albums.
Well, we talk about this. We talked about these guys, the Q people, as Harold Camping. I don't know if you guys remember Harold Camping, but Harold Camping was the guy who the guy who said the world was going to end, and he literally gave a date.
Yeah.
And then they like the press is like, "Hey, it's that day, and it's not happened yet." And they came to his door, and he's like, "I mean, I misread it. It's actually in October." And they closed the door, and then you never heard of him again. And so the thing is that they gave a date. And the problem is that they gave a date. But there was a really interesting article, or not an article. It was an interview I listened to. I think it was on The Daily, where there was a Q woman. She's like a Harvard grad, too. She wasn't just like some, you know, just somebody who just did their research on the internet. This woman, you know, she's educated, you know, at least you presume educated, Harvard graduate. And she was saying, she was making up excuses saying, mm-hmm. Well, we've never really got a date. And, you know, she's a hardcore Q follower, 100%.
Yeah.
Didn't even want to think about it before the end.
Yeah. That's one of the misconceptions and biases that I think a lot of the media makes. That's a big mistake, which is like pigeonholing and decrying people who believe in these sorts of things as dumb or gullible. Maybe gullible is closer. But like there's so many different, there's a constellation of reasons why people are drawn to things like this. And it rarely has anything strictly to do with intelligence, and it can be really marginalizing and sort of counterproductive.
I would compare it to the astronaut who drove across the country wearing diapers and stuff where you're like, you have reached the pinnacle of whatever it is you can, but anything is susceptible to that kind of brain virus of like repetitive thoughts and actions along those lines.
Yeah, or things.
I'm not trying to excuse anybody by any stretch.
Or but, things that fill an emotional hole that you might have. Like that's part of the reason that like a lot of the Alex Jones and QAnon stuff is so attractive and so hard to get away from is because it's so satisfying of something that people need. Whether it's like intrigue, whether it's comfort, whether it's a reason why things are the way they are.
Yeah. Easy answers for things is one of the major reasons. Yeah. Easy answers. Yeah. Also, just the idea that you're sort of revealing something that's secret.
You're a hero.
Feels good. Yeah.
You're a detective.
That feels good.
You're also the winner of that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's great. It's great stuff.
And then you get to, when you spread it to your friends, you get to be the one who told them about this. I revealed this cool thing to you sort of thing.
Yeah, right. Listen to this band I just found, right? Yeah. Like it's got like that kind of feel to it, which is
it's
nice.
It's called Hillary Eats Babies. They rock.
Is that a baby?
Not the whole baby. Just the face.
Just the face.
Oh, okay. Come on.
Sorry. Hate the whole. The rest face. Of it. It's there's not even any good meat on it.
That's the most offensive part. Everybody knows you have to use the whole baby. Would you otherwise, call, it's
you
disrespectful.
Use the whole baby.
Would you call that
absolutely?
Would you call that baby koa?
You know what I do? You think that we are?
I got it.
More susceptible. Do you think that we are more susceptible to this kind of thinking because we're so much? I was just thinking, we're in times gone by, there was so much of the world we didn't understand. We didn't understand most of how the world worked, right? Like, you know, whether it was going to snow tomorrow for most of, for most of human history.
Now we got it all figured out. Everybody knows that. Yeah.
Well, no, but what I wonder is like for most of history, it's like, wait, if you're going to have a snowstorm tomorrow, I don't fucking know. Did it snow today?
Ask the witch.
You have no idea. And then as we learn more, we get closer to the idea that we should know everything. Mm-hmm. And then we still don't. And these kind of things give us an answer to all those, you know, like, they fill in the blanks where it feels like we shouldn't have blanks.
Yeah, and the questions become infinitely more complex. And sometimes there's so much gray area that even experts have to be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's terrifying.
I think like I don't know is more satisfying when like I don't know is the answer to a lot of questions, right? When I don't know is a more like normalized answer. Like it just was like, what's the weather going to be like next week? Fucking what? What are you even talking about? It's 1682. Yeah. The fucking weather's going to do what it's going to do. Now we have answers and I think we sort of like expect, like, what's wrong with me, doctor? Well, he'll fucking know. Well, except for sometimes they just don't, you know? But I wonder if we're more prone. I wonder if we're in a place in history where we're more prone than ever before to this kind of thing.
I mean, the fact that there is so many things that you can answer with, I don't know, is the opening for so many of these propagandists of like, well, see, they're saying they don't know, but it's actually, you can see from what's happened that what they do know is what they're killing you with and so on. You know, as long as there's that, we're, you know, at the beginning of the pandemic, there was that, like, we don't know if it's airborne yet. We don't know all of those different things. And so there's that, you know, we use the metaphor of wet cement all the time of like, if you don't know something, somebody can write their name on that wet cement and fuck everybody over for a while.
Yeah, I can implant their own ideas before their certainty. And it can really have, lingering consequences.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting thought of like, if it is because, I don't know. I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
Listen, I'm leaning more and more towards none of you are real. And this whole thing is a simulation because none of this shit makes any sense to me. So I'm wondering why it is.
Gentlemen, if people were going to find your podcast, where would they look?
Are you kicking us off the show already?
Yeah. We're done talking.
What did I do? What did I do? Was that explanation shitty? Is that why the show is over? Did I do a bad job?
I really feel like I lost my train of thought and that was...
And then Cecil was like, no, we're fucking done.
Yeah.
I figured that we were done.
Dan, if you guys want to plug something,
wow. I mean, is there something you want to plug? Is there something, I mean, you guys like have a fucking book or something?
Well, actually...
Cecil's all in and then all of a sudden just, all right, we're done now.
It hurt. It hurt a little
bit. You bored me.
That's rejected.
That's what happened. To me, that's why I scream.
Yeah,
Dan's far more polite, so he would have just let the pain simmer until you guys.
I would have blamed myself.
Yeah. I'm glad I could invite you on and then hurt your feelings. That makes me feel good.
I've decided that instead of plugging things in the future, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give a shout out to dogs.
Okay,
so I'd like to give a shout out like to just one of Jordan's dogs, Jake. Yeah. But not Fanny. Fanny doesn't get a shout out.
Fanny's the best.
Though. Okay.
And then
are you going to play this?
Fanny
for Jake?
Just got
then,
one.
Yeah. Then another special dog out there named Tillifer Aniston. So these dogs are top of the crop.
I do like that. Yeah, check out those dogs.
Yep.
If you're around my house, go ahead, knock on the door.
Don't check out Fanny. Just
yeah.
You guys have gone barking mad. This segment is rough.
Double pun.
Look up Knowledge Fight, and sooner or later you'll find everything we've done, probably. Sooner or later.
Man.
I mean, if you keep looking.
Yeah, we're around.
Just yell into your cup.
Abolish the cops.
Here's what you do. Search any keyword that's similar to us and then definitely go right to the second page of Google. Do not bother with the first page at all. You're not going to find us there.
No. Thanks for having us. This was a lot of fun.
Yes, this is fantastic.
Thanks for coming on, gentlemen. We appreciate it every time.
This
thank you
good,
so
guys.
Much.
Always.
And the thing that we can take from it academically, historically, how does Davy Crockett like his pie?
How?
A la mode.
I gotta go.
Yeah, me too.
So I think we'd be remiss not to talk about this story. This story comes from KTXSK, Texas. Ugh, K-Texas. Colorado K-Texas. City mayor resigns. Colorado City is in Texas. Don't be fooled by the name. Colorado City mayor resigns, responds to his controversial Facebook post. Cancel culture fucking strikes again, Cecil.
It's gone amok, Tom. It's gone amok. Cancel. Read this very innocuous statement by this guy.
So real, just a little bit of context in case you're an overseas listener. Texas has no electricity or whatever. And they're like crying about it because it's, you know, fucking 5 degrees or 19 fucking degrees right now in Texas.
And come on, only what, 25 people died?
Right. Barely even a blip on the radar. They have no power, so of course they have no heat, and of course they have no infrastructure, so their pipes are bursting and they can't drink water and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Fucking.
We're kidding.
Oh, we're kidding,
we're
guys.
Kidding, folks. We're kidding, folks.
It's a horror.
It's a horror.
It's an
absolute horror. They literally are not ready for it in any way whatsoever. No. They didn't know what was happening down there. All the infrastructure is bad. And this group of people like decided to take them off the main fucking power grid. It's a fucking disaster designed by their leadership.
Yeah,
it's literally designed by their leadership.
Yeah, this is an actual terrible thing. And like Cecil said, I think 25 people have died so far. There's another storm coming as we record this, ready to strike. There's not really a lot of positive signs saying this is getting fixed anytime soon. And those temperatures are genuinely dangerous, specifically dangerous for people who are really unprepared. And their infrastructure, their housing is not prepared for this.
Like, I was looking and they were showing all these different places where pipes had burst. And then they had like these apartment buildings where the water's coming down the walls and the water's coming down the walls. And it's frozen indoors, Tom. Inside, it's frozen. And it's because they just don't have the kind of build. Like, up here, if the power goes out and the heat goes out in our buildings up here, you know, it'll get down to about 50 degrees. It'll probably get pretty cold, but it probably would not get down to freezing for a while. It would take it a long time.
Because it's well insulated.
Because it's well insulated. Yep. Down there, they just don't have that same cold weather protection.
Yeah, and your pipes are insulated. The thing is, when they build a house here, your pipes that like run around your exterior walls, they're wrapped in insulation. Like there's a structure. You just, oh, fuck, and you go turn your water off at the main. And you're unlikely to have these probably none of that is. It's a fucking nightmare down there. And this is what the Colorado City mayor Facebooked out. No one owes you or your family anything, nor is it the local government's responsibility to support you during trying times like this. Exclamation. Sink or swim. It's your choice. Exclamation. The city and county, along with power providers or any other service, owes you nothing. All caps. I'm sick and tired of people looking for a damn handout. If you don't have electricity, you step up and come up with a game plan to keep your family warm and safe. If you have no water, you deal without and think outside the box to survive and supply water to your family. If you're sitting at home in the cold because you have no power and are sitting there waiting for someone to come rescue you because you're lazy is a direct result of your raising.
Okay, no, we gotta stop. When in your life has not being lazy got you power? Like, how the fuck? Like, I don't even fucking get it. Like, what could I possibly do besides ride a bicycle or run in a hamster wheel that happens to be on a generator? That would literally be the only way not being lazy would get you power.
Cecil, what world does this sentence make sense? Power providers owe you nothing. They're supposed to provide me with power. That's their reason to fucking be.
They're a public fucking company.
What do you mean they owe me nothing? They give me power. I give them money. They owe me power. That's not the fucking contractual agreement here, motherfucker. And I think it's entirely reasonable to say, hey, we built an entire society based on water and power infrastructure. The entirety of civilized society in Texas assumes that there is water and power.
Right.
That's where am I going to get water, Cecil? Oh, go. If you're without water, just get it yourself. From where?
I don't care how many fucking burpees I get. I don't get drinking water.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't unlazy myself out of fucking a cup of water.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Get off your ass and just go pick some electricity from the electricity tree and bring it home.
Hold one of those icicles under your arm and then it drips down your arm into the fucking, like, get the fuck out of here.
Oh, God. And I love, too, this is like, if you're lazy, that's the direct result of my raising. Well, then it's not my fault. Right? Yeah, it's not my fault. I didn't choose to be raised a certain lazy.
Oh.
Only the strong will survive and the weak, spelled wrong, will perish.
No, Did he say, did he spell it weak?
He spelled it weak, and he spelled, well, he said perish here, right? He spelled weak, W-E-E-K. Only the weak will survive. So like Sunday what? Through the Saturday is week? Just fine, motherfucker.
The days of the week.
Days
Sunday,
of the week.
Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days.
The Fonz is so thirsty.
Fonz hey. Walks up to the power station and he's like, hey.
And it works, it turns on. God has given us the tools to support ourselves in times like this. This is sadly a product of a socialized government where they feed people to believe that the few work and others will become dependent for handouts.
What the fuck are you talking about, handouts? I can't stand on the corner and ask people for electricity.
Yeah.
I just can't do it. I can't hold a cup with a fucking and be like, hey, man, can you give me you spare a fucking gigawatt? Are you an idiot?
He's just Doc Brown standing outside 1.21 gigawatts. Just hook up a cable yeah. to the old clock tower, guys.
And that's what you do. And you feed the homeless that way. It's a fucking gigawatts. The fuck out of here.
I like the suggestion here is that people that don't work somehow are the problem. Like plenty of people who work also get their power turned off. It's not like the power company's like, are you gainfully employed? Because if not, we're shutting off your power. They just shut off the fucking power.
Yeah.
Because the power went out.
Yeah, man. Let me tell you, there's no fucking right to power or water in this country.
No.
You don't have those rights.
Nope.
That's not a right. That's not a human right in this country. It's not a human right to get fucking medical care. It's not a human right to get fucking power or water. It's not a right to have a house in this country. None of those things are a right. So the idea you're like looking for handouts. Like fucking who's looking for handouts?
Yeah, who's got I don't know anybody who's got free electricity. Well,
yeah.
You know, I'm a socialist, so all of us socialists get free electricity and the capitalists pay for it. That's how we do it.
Stupid.
Yeah. Am I sorry that you've been dealing without electricity and water? Yes. But I'll be damned if I'm going to provide for anyone that is capable of doing it themselves. We have lost sight of those in need and those that take advantage of the system and mesh them into one group.
You're literally fucking attacking every person in need.
Yeah, right.
You have no compassion whatsoever. We've lost sight of those in need. You literally just blinded everybody to those in need. it's your fault. You just took our eyes out. Fuck you.
Well, also, like, if you don't believe in government, why are you the mayor? What are you the mayor of? Yeah, I'd like to be in charge, but I don't believe in chargedness.
Oh,
so
what a fucking fool.
Bottom line, quit crying and looking for a handout. Get off your ass and take care of your own family. Then again, bottom line, don't be a part of a problem.
Bottom lines here, Tom. Hold on.
He's got two bottom lines. He's really
so
a fan
like
of the
PBS
bottom.
PBS bottom line. This is the second one. Okay.
He's a double bottom, Cecil.
Okay.
Bottom. Bottom line, part two. Don't be a part of a problem. Be a part of the solution.
Don't be a part of a problem. Be a part of the solution.
Then later.
Okay.
Then later. He gets.
This is now. Hold on now. Yeah. Then he had to fucking roll it back because everybody was like, you're an asshole. I can't believe you're in charge of anything.
Right. I have sat back and watched all of this escalating. I've tried to keep my mouth shut. I won't deny for 1 minute what I said in my post this morning. Believe me when I say that, because you can't deny things that are fucking incontrovertibly in writing.
Yeah.
Why? What would be the point of denying that? I mean, I guess we've made a habit out of that in 2020. But believe me when I say that many of the things I said were taken out of context. I just read the whole thing.
None of that's out of context.
None of that. That's not taking something out of context.
Garbage. Yeah, you're an idiot.
Oh, you know,
yeah.
You guys really took the Holocaust out of context. You know, when you really look at the whole scope of the thing.
Yeah, no, you really got to lean into it.
You really made that look bad. Taken out of context, and some of which were said without putting much thought into it. Well, that's not my fault that you fucking spoke without thinking. I would never want to hurt the elderly or anyone that is in true need of help to be left to fend for themselves. I was only making the statement that those folks that are too lazy to get up and fend for themselves but are capable should not be dealt a handout. I apologize for the wording and some of the phrases that were used! Exclamation point. I had already turned in my resignation and had not signed up to run for mayor again on the deadline that was February 12th. I spoke some of this. He's using these exclamation points. And he demands this kind of exclamation.
It's so good.
I spoke some of this out of the anger that the city and county was catching for situations which were out of their control. That sentence is very poorly worded. Please understand, if I had to do it over again, I would have just kept my words to myself. And if I did say them, I would have used better wording. And I love this, been more descriptive. Motherfucker, a lack of fucking description was not the problem.
Yeah, that wasn't the issue.
And then it gets personal. The anger and harassment you've caused my wife and family is so undeserved. My wife was laid off of her job based off the association people gave to her and the business she worked for. She's a very good person.
That's a terrible sentence. Terrible. I mean, I'm a bad writer, but that's a really bad sentence.
Yeah, well, you're not the fucking mayor of Colorado Junction or Colorado, fucking whatever. Texas. Yeah.
I'm the mayor of Arkansas, Kentucky. That's me.
She's a very good person, was only defending me. But her to have get fired from her job.
It sounds like a Google Translate.
Oh, wait. I scale it.
No,
maybe
do
I
it
misread
again,
it.
Tom. You no, do it again.
I didn't
do it
misread
again.
It.
Do it again.
But her to have to get fired from her job over things I said out of context is so horrible. Yes. What? I admit there are things.
I smell hair. I smell burning hair.
This next is amazing. I admit there are things that are said all the time that I don't agree with, but I would never harass you or your family to the point that they would lose their livelihood as such there, as a form of income.
There is the like, it's THERE instead of like a personalized there too, which is nice.
See, honestly, listen to this. Is an eighth grade education even a prerequisite to be mayor of Colorado happy or whatever?
I think you just have to like score the most at darts.
Do you win the mayordom in this fucking town by doing keg stands? What the fuck is a traumatic brain injury? An obvious necessary requirement for this job.
Gotta get that. Yeah.
I asked that I also love that she got fired for things that he said out of context. The context just gets worse with every passing sentence.
When you're a shitty person, sometimes people don't want to be associated with you or your family.
Right.
That happens.
Maybe don't be the worst all the time.
Yeah.
I ask that you each understand I never meant to speak for the city of Colorado City or Mitchell County. I was speaking as a citizen, as I am not the mayor anymore. But he was when he wrote this.
But he was
this.
At the time, yeah. But he resigned or whatever.
I apologize for the wording and ask that you please not harass myself or my family anymore. Threatening our lives with comments and messages is a horrible thing to have to wonder about.
What the fuck?
I hate wondering about threats. I won't share any of those messages from those names as I feel they know who they are and hope after they see this, they will retract the hateful things they have said. Thank you, Tim Boyd, citizen.
Well, holy at least he learned his lesson.
I am surprised, Cecil, with governance like that, the Texas has found themselves in this kind of a pickle. No, I'm not.
I really genuinely feel bad for everybody down there because their government is so fucking incompetent. Yeah. It's just pathetic. It's just genuinely pathetic.
Yeah. Well, Cecil, have you seen the tweets that were called out from Ted Cruz when California had some rolling blackouts and they had some energy problems for sure. And Ted Cruz tweeted out something like, I see that, you know, California has lost even the basic, you know, functioning necessary requirements for a civilization such as electricity.
Yeah.
And like people are just tweeting that right back at him. Like, here you go. Yeah. It turns out, man, when you have wildfires, that fucks up your electricity. And turns out when Texas, you have a shitty grid system entirely unplugged from the rest of the country and not enough fucking redundancy and an over-reliance on fucking deregulated systems, that fucks up your system.
Well, and then the very fact that they're trying to blame it all on wind power now.
Oh, my
which
God.
Which is the tiniest portion of their actual...
Yeah.
The fact is that is that they're just not ready. And they're just trying to, again, this is something that all politicians fucking do. They've got to pass the buck on somebody else. Nobody can just walk up to a microphone and be like, fuck, we fucked up. Let's fix this.
Yeah.
There's never a moment in fucking politics where somebody just, you know, is the better person.
What's so crazy is a storm like this is a once in a generation event, right? So a storm like this has not happened in this way in more than 35 years. And this storm, one of the unique things about this storm is that it blanketed the entirety of Texas, east to west, north to south. So Texas was not able to draw power from any of its other grid infrastructure in other parts of Texas. So it's not that unusual for Texas to have a cold snap, but Texas can draw power from other areas of Texas because usually the entire state isn't affected. And Texas actually has, in many respects, a very progressive grid system. So it relies on coal, it relies on natural gas, it has nuclear power, and it has wind energy. And that kind of diversification of power is, generally speaking, a good thing. The problem in Texas is that the entire state of Texas got hit.
Yeah.
The whole fucking state of Texas. So they could have just stood up there and said, you know what, despite all of our best efforts, despite the diversification of energy sources, we had failures within our transmission lines. We did not plan for this. It's a once in a generation event. We're working hard on getting systems back online. Instead, they're like, the wind turbines, the goddamn liberal wind turbines done froze up. Yeehaw.
Yep.
Texas.
Yep.
And there's no need for that. You could just say like, fuck, we didn't see this coming, partially because we don't believe in climate change. And that's a problem too, right?
Right. Right.
But
and
fuck,
you know, you said it's a once in a generation. It might not be.
Not anymore.
You know what I mean? Like there's a possibility it might not be. And so, you know, that's the problem is that there's so many people who just can't fucking, they can't back up anymore. They have put themselves into a corner to the point where they've denied climate change so much.
Yep.
And then they've also tried to pass the buck onto everybody else as if it's their fault. It's like, no, it's your fault. And you need to accept that climate change is a real thing.
Yeah, and they're not going to until the next storm hits. You know what I mean? And then the next storm hits.
It's
going to
be the next and the next and the
right,
next.
Right, right.
So we want to thank our patrons. Of course, we want to thank all our patrons. We want to thank our newest patrons, Brad, Maggie, Brent, Lou Zealand, Sun, and Mike. Thank you so much for your generous donations. We really do truly appreciate it. This show is funded by listeners, and we pay an employee. We pay rent. We pay for tons of different services that we use all the time to get the show to you and to make the show easier to produce. It saves us time since both Tom and I we have busy lives, families, and we work other jobs. And so your money is vitally important to this show. So if you are a fan of the show, and if you like the show, and if you would want to pay us for the content that you get, we'd more than happy receive that money at patreon.com/dissonancepod or go to dissonancepod.com and click on the Patreon link there. We would love for you to be a supporter of the show because you are the ones who make sure that this show continues to happen. So thank you so much to all the supporters on Patreon. We really do truly appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah, the show, there would be no Cognitive Dissonance without our patrons. We literally would not be able to afford doing it. So we're just straight out asking if you love the show and you've got a dollar or so, please consider becoming a patron. We really would love it.
So we got a little bit of email here. We got a message from, this is from Christian, and he says that he has a couple of family members who are involved in sort of Facebook groups and things, vaccine Facebook groups. And he's also doing some of that stuff. And he said that there's on Facebook now, because groups are being banned because of their anti-vax stances, they are now changing some of their language. And one of his favorites, the Talk family, has renamed to evidence-based discussion from civil discussion to try to protect the vaccine group from the censor. So they're trying to get around those algorithms that we talk so much about. They're trying to get around it. They're trying to squeak around it.
You know what I got to say? At the end of the day, I think the algorithms are going to win. I think the algorithms are going to win.
Yeah, they're going to win. I mean, we just found out on the stream that we're not even broadcasting in on Facebook in Australia.
Right. Yeah, because of their media blackout.
Ban.
Yeah, they've got a media blackout.
Yeah. So we found out that our Facebook page isn't even allowed down there right now. So you have to find us in different places now. If you're going to watch the stream, you have to watch it on Twitch, I think, and YouTube. Those would be the places you have to watch it.
Yep.
What time of the day do we stream down there, Tom? It's like 12 hours. Are they 12 hours away? So it's like
17 hours.
They're watching the stream over there at like 2 PM, something like that. Yeah. So, okay. All right. So that's why they're watching. That's why we get Australians on, because they're 2 PM.
Yeah. It's good timing for them.
Yeah. No, it's perfect.
2 PM and then the next day, because
yeah, it's on Thursday.
They live in a time machine.
Yeah. It's
is how that works, I think.
If you are watching the stream down there, be sure to find it somewhere else other than Facebook. We got a message from Paul, and Paul said, in episode 564, Cecil remarked that he had become less afraid of death as he's gotten older. Anecdotally, I found that many religious people get more afraid as they approach death because of the fear of judgment that has always been instilled in them, and how humans are unworthy, basically. And he said, my stepmother is a lifelong Catholic in her mid-80s and has been like that for a few years. Wow.
That's got to be scary.
That is something else, because, you know, like, you learn so much of your life about hell. You spend your whole life and how horrible it is, or, you know, I'm going to be in purgatory for a long time. That's what Catholics believe. And so, you know, at least Catholics have kind of like a place you can chill for a while if you were an asshole, instead of just like infinite punishment if you were, you know, an asshole, right. You know, on earth.
And, you know, the other thing too is like a lot of these people, they're not terribly biblically literate. So their conception of hell is a cultural conception, you know, which is borrowed from
Dante,
from Dante and Hieronymus Bosch and all these, like, which has nothing that none of that has any biblical basis. That all has a literary and cultural basis.
Sure.
So they have this idea of hell that if they read their book, it doesn't even match.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It doesn't even match, but they've conjured up these demons. They've literally conjured up these actual demons.
Right. Right. Got a message from Helgi on Patreon, and they say, I was wondering if there's a way to listen to the live streams on a podcast app. If so, which apps and how? So you can listen to the live streams after they happen on a podcast app. We post all of those onto our feed, and Patreon has a way to put that feed in a podcast player, but I don't know exactly how to do it. But if you search for podcast feed Patreon, I'm sure there's a way to do it. If you want to send us an email straight away, I know Ian can walk you through it. So send us an email and I will forward it to Ian and he will walk you through it. But there is a way to get any audio that we produce through Patreon directly to your podcast player. And every live stream, we take it down and we upload it to Patreon so everybody can just listen to it if they want to do that instead of watching it. We got a fucking awesome image.
I love this image.
Steven, and it's a Star Wars image, and it's a reference to last week's stream, so check it out. It's on this week's show notes, 565. Good. Joanne sends in a message, and they say, best place to get glasses is Zenni Optical. And they talk about how cheap the glasses are. Tom turned me on to Zenni a while back, but I haven't been able to use them because I can't go to a doctor. I have never been able to find a doctor that'll allow me for that, like, the sight thing, the eye.
The pupillary distance. Yeah. It's so stupid because the law in Illinois requires that they give you your prescription, but your pupillary distance is not technically part of your prescription, even though it's required to get a pair of glasses. So, but it's not technically part of your prescription. So you have to go to some place that will measure your pupillary distance, and they usually charge you for it before you can buy the goddamn glasses. I have like 6 pairs of glasses from Zenni. Like, I buy them every year. I buy another pair of glasses from Zenni, and they're actually terrific.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the glasses I have to buy are through the doctor, and I tried to get my thing last year, and they gave me the prescription, but they didn't have that thing. And there's lots of ways, I guess, online to find that thing, but I was never able to find a good method.
Yeah, I tried to do it online, and I got it wrong by a lot.
And another image, this one's from Holly, and this is also about last week's.
I love this one.
And this image is on the show notes, 565. Check it out. So we want to thank, of course, Knowledge Fight.
Great
for
guys.
Joining us tonight. Great guys. We want to thank them for coming on. You can check out their podcast, Knowledge Fight. And Jordan also has a book, and I'm sure you can find it through Knowledge Fight and through their website. We want to thank them for coming on. It was a lot of fun. And we want to invite everybody back next week for our live stream. It'll be on Thursday night next week. We had to switch to Wednesday this week, but next week we'll be back on Thursday. So come check us out on all the places that you would normally stream us. So you would check us out on Facebook, on Twitch, on YouTube, and Twitter, but not in Australia. You can only look at, you can't look at us on Facebook in fucking Australia. All right, so that's going to wrap it up for this week. We're going to leave you, like we always do, with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno-Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo-quasi-alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy, healing, water, downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info-docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your signs. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and information provided on this podcast are intended for entertainment purposes only. All opinions are solely that of Glory Hole Studios, LLC. Cognitive Dissonance makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, currentness, suitability, or validity of any information, and will not be liable for any errors, damages, or butthurt arising from consumption. All information is provided on an as-is basis. No refunds. Produced in association with the local Dairy Council and viewers like you.